Did you know that distance and physical barriers, especially common in larger or multi-story homes, can reduce the strength of your Wi-Fi signal and slow down your internet? For setup tips on how to get the best out of your NBN connection, visit nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
That is Stephanie Youssef there speaking with David Evans from Watermark Search. Let's take a look at the Australian share market today, which rose 0.57% to 8,653. That's on the S&P ASX 200. And despite renewed hostilities in the Middle East, which set the gold price to a November low, investors continue to pile into defensive names like Coles, which rallied around 5% today, Woolies up more than 3%, Bunnings owner Wesfarmers climbed more than 4%. Tech stocks, though, fell, and with just days to go before what is expected to be the world's biggest share market float, I spoke with Matthew Sherwood. He's the head of investment strategy at Perpetual. Matt, how would you describe investor sentiment at the moment? I mean, if you look at today specifically, it would appear our share market has largely ignored the latest US strikes in Iran.
Well, sentiment feels somewhat complacent with investors looking through the earnings bubbles among the AI hyperscalers and upcoming rate increases by central banks. Now, in reference to today's performance, I would note that Australia has been the worst performing market since the Iran strikes began. So there's no need to take profits here simply because there hasn't been any. And I would contend that investors have figured out probably that global growth is resilient and is much more important than Middle East geopolitics.
In the local market, is it fair to say that we're seeing a rotation out of stocks into like the defensive parts of the market? And why is that?
Well, there's been a little bit of a rotation, that's true. I think that's probably more to do with portfolio rebalancing after 9 weeks of rebounds. But there's only a sustained allocation into defensive sectors if investors feel economies are heading into a downturn. You know, and I think that risk is moderate in Australia, and I think it's even lower in the US. So, you know, my suspicion is it's just portfolio rebalancing more than anything else.
What about the interest rate story more broadly? In the US, we saw some strong job numbers over the weekend. I think as a result, the market thinks there may be an interest rate rise towards the end of the year. But here, it almost seems like the story's changing. NAB yesterday said that they're expecting now the next move in interest rates here to be a cut, not until next year, but, you know, we were talking about more interest rate rises.
Well, markets have spent most of this year pricing out Fed easing, which never really made sense to me because the US economy is incredibly strong. Unemployment's at 4%, inflation's running at 4%, money supply growth's at 5%, credit growth's at 5%, you know, and growth is double trend given ultra easy financial conditions. So none of that suggests that policy is remotely restrictive. And yet the Fed at its next meeting next week is only going to have a conversation about dropping their easing bias. You know, I think for what it's worth, the Fed's on hold this year, but there is a risk case, of course, that of one hike, which the markets have already priced in. With respect to the RBA, I still expect one more hike in August as domestic demand is strong and inflation is unsustainably high. But I tend to think that would be then the peak of the cycle.
I hate to add to all the hype that we're seeing around SpaceX, right? However, it is still likely to be the biggest share market listing in history later this weekend. AI companies like OpenAI and Anthropic are also confirming they're seeking to list at some point. Alphabet, the owner of Google, has tapped the market for billions of dollars to expand technology investment. Meta is likely to do the same. So I'd love to get your take on the space and this rush for capital and what's the message to investors.
Well, the message is that despite huge profits and huge profit growth, these hyperscalers need even more money to fund the CapEx. Over the space of 1 year, CapEx growth for the leading AI firms has risen from 10% 12 months ago to 80% today, which means that the combined $220 billion of earnings over the past year from the US semiconductors has delivered free cash flow, which is what investors get in their bank accounts, of only about $80 billion. So for this to continue running, these firms need to fuel a bull market in earnings and continued increases in margin. And there's so much pressure here for AI to deliver. And I would think that investors' patience could soon be running short, given all the issuance that you've actually just mentioned.
We've got 3 weeks until the end of the financial year. The latest Superfund data from SuperRating shows median balanced fund is up about 7.9% for the financial year to date. But given that the SpaceX IPO, I think we've seen the tech sector also fall on Friday quite dramatically. From what I heard, investors pulling money aside ready for these types of IPOs, if that's right or not, you can let me know. We've got this volatile tech sector, the ongoing uncertainties in the war. Are we headed for a volatile period leading into July the 1st?
Well, if there is an increase in market volatility in the next few weeks, I would imagine that it's more likely to be triggered not by supply issues of US equities, but rather earnings downgrades from US semiconductors or interest rate upgrades in the wake of higher than expected inflation. Now, the market is complacent on both fronts, and it would spark downgrades or a pull forward in rate hike expectation, neither of which the market is priced for. In the end, since the US-Iran situation began at the end of February, despite the price decline that we saw last Friday, the NASDAQ index is still up 13% in the space of 9 weeks. It's been a phenomenal rise that has helped super balances. The challenge is really, what upside is there left for the market this year, given that EPS expectations are running at 25% and forward valuations are trading at 21 times, which is very richly priced.
And so just finally, with everything we've discussed, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Well, more questions, I think, have been asked around the world of large cap earnings and whether premium valuations are justified. So I would say to them to look at their portfolios and ask if their exposures to those large cap stocks is appropriate for the earnings growth, which may be subjected to downside risks. And with bond yields continuing to move higher, ask how will I cushion my portfolio from any unforeseen events? Because there's numerous trigger points out there. So don't assume that it's smooth sailing from here.
That's Matthew Sherwood there from Perpetual, and he wraps up the podcast for this Wednesday. Give it a like, a review, and subscribe if you enjoy it. Don't forget you can watch On the Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close. And I'll catch you then.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Did you know that distance and physical barriers, especially common in larger or multi-story homes, can reduce the strength of your Wi-Fi signal and slow down your internet? For setup tips on how to get the best out of your NBN connection, visit nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup.